Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3. We are studying through the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus are traditionally known as pastoral epistles. I would say that, yes, they give instruction to pastors, and we're going to look specifically at that this morning. But what we have seen as we're going through the book of 1 Timothy, it's basically how the church is supposed to be organized, and the church is supposed to minister to be the pillar and foundation of the truth of the gospel in the world. And so Paul is giving instruction to his friend Timothy, his mentee Timothy, a guy he's been mentoring in the ministry. And we've seen as we went through chapter 1 that Paul told Timothy, hey, you have to deal with the church's teaching. You have to deal with the doctrine of the church, what the church is proclaiming. It needs to proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. And then he calls out some false teachers. We looked at that and we said, you know, these are people that probably Paul knew back in his time in Ephesus, and he knew that they were capable of leading sheep astray, and he calls them out by name. And then we get to chapter 2, and Paul says, okay, now that we've corrected the doctrine, what do we need to do? Well, we need to pray. So the church's first ministry is a ministry of prayer. Why is that? Well, there are some people that we're going to look at that are gifted to teach, some people that are gifted to do mercy ministries, some people that are gifted to do various other kinds of ministries, but every single person, man, woman, child, it doesn't matter if you're 90 years old or 9 years old, you can pray. And Paul says the first ministry of every church needs to be a ministry of prayer. And he outlines that. Pray for all different types of people. There are a reason why we pray for other churches. Like I said, they're not competition. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ doing the exact same thing we're doing. And they may do it a little bit differently than we do. Praise God. But they're in different contexts, different areas. It doesn't matter if they're next door. They're not our competition. Christ is king. We're not. And so Paul tells Timothy the church's ministry, the first ministry is prayer. And then last week we looked at chapter 2, verses 8 through 15, where Paul tells Timothy, you know, you need the men to actually be the leaders in this. And then ladies, don't usurp that power. Because the men need to step up and lead in the prayer of the church, the ministry of the church. The men need to be the one who are the example because of the creation order. And that's what we saw last week. And we're going to get into a specific group of leaders this morning in chapter 3. So if you would, take your Bibles, look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. I would ask that you stand at the reading of God's word, looking in verse 1. Paul starts out and says, this thing is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to be an overseer, he desires a noble work. An overseer, therefore, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, self-controlled, sensible, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not an excessive drinker, not a bully, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not greedy. He must manage his own household competently and have his children under control with all dignity. If anyone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of God's church? He must not be a new convert, or he might become conceited and incur the same condemnation as the devil. Furthermore, he must have a good reputation among outsiders so that he does not fall into disgrace and the devil's trap. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity of your word and how churches are to minister and how churches are to be functioning in the world today, not just in the time of Paul, but throughout all eternity. We are the one who is the pillar and foundation of the truth of your word. And dear Lord, we just ask that as we look at overseers, the role of pastor, elder, overseer this morning, that you would open our eyes to what that means. Open our eyes to what these qualifications are and how it's supposed to point to you and not to puff anyone up. And dear Lord, I just pray that you would lead and guide and direct us. Everything that I say that is God-honoring, I pray that you bury it into our hearts and draw us closer to you. If there's anything I say that does not honor you, I pray that those words fall and hit the ground before they're even heard. Dear Lord, we love you and we praise you, for it's in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So Paul's argument here, Paul is continuing to outline for Timothy how he wants Timothy to set up the church in Ephesus. Timothy is the lead pastor there, if you will. He's the one that Paul has left and sent there to minister in that context in Ephesus. And again, we saw how Ephesus was important throughout all of Scripture. It's a church that Paul planted in Acts. We see how Paul loved that church in Acts chapter 20. Paul calls the church elders to himself, and they have a weeping, tearing moment when Paul is leaving, and he tells them that they must guard the flock and they must protect, because there may be even some that rise up among themselves that would lead the church astray. And then we see Timothy here being left in Ephesus. We see that the book of Ephesians was written to this church, and then we see that even in the book of Revelation, this church is mentioned. And so it's an important church for the context of all Christendom that we look and examine what Paul says this church ought to be like, because it's the model that God has given us to form even this church in 2025 here in Kingston, Tennessee. And we looked at how they are to minister, and now we're going to a specific set. Paul is actually kind of stepping into one-on-one. He's talking about all of the ministry, what everyone should pray, and then there are specific people within the church, specific men in particular that we'll look at, that are overseers, elders, pastors for the church, and we're going to see why that's important. So I'm going to title this message just basically elders. Essentially, this is what we're talking about, and it's not because I'm old. As Matt Cannon told me this morning, he looks older, but I'm older than he is. So we're not just talking about old, although there is a component of been around the block and experience wise to this, right? So let's look. First, let's look at aspiring to serve. Verse 1. Paul says this is a trustworthy, it's a faithful, it's a reliable statement that he's about to make. And so he tells Timothy that if anyone aspires to be an overseer, an elder, he desires a noble work. Now, how many of you, maybe you've been around Christendom for a long time, or your Christian walk has been for many, many years. How many of you have heard the term, you need to be called to ministry? Raise your hand, right? Okay. This is what this is dealing with, the calling to ministry. There is something in a man who wants to be a leader of the church that God pulls into their hearts that says that they want to aspire to this. The Greek word that Paul uses here to aspire is being pulled toward. It's being stretched toward. When he says aspire, there's this inner stretching toward something desirable. And as a elder or pastor or overseer, there's this internal feeling that you're being stretched toward this work. You're being stretched toward the glory of God. You're being stretched forward toward this, and it's a noble work. It's a self-giving work. It's a self-giving longing. Trust me, I understand. I've had conversations with several of you this morning about your personal issues and your personal life, and I'm not going to dive into those, but I care about you. And it's a self-giving longing that elders are supposed to have. And so Paul here is telling Timothy, hey, look for men who have this aspect of longing to shepherd God's sheep. Now, this sounds really cool, and it sounds like, oh, I get to be on a platform and all of this stuff. Here's what shepherds actually have to do. They have to suffer persecution. Shepherds in the day of Christ were the lowliest of the low. And I'm not talking about preachers, I'm talking about shepherds. Sleepless nights, scarcity of food, being attacked by wild beasts, being in danger, sacrificially having to chase after sheep who's being chased after wolves, and you have to chase down the wolf and kill it. It's not glamorous. It's hard. But, Paul says, if someone wants to serve in the role of pastor of the shepherd, or to be the shepherd of a local flock, that's a noble work. Verse 1, it's a work that is beautiful. It's a work that is good. It's a work that is valuable. And again, think of shepherds in the time of Christ. Wealth, a lot of times, was dealt by the amount of sheep a person had, or cattle, or land, or whatever the case may be. And so, if you were a shepherd, you had a responsibility to the owner of the sheep. And you had to do the work nobly, because what happened if you allowed a predator to catch one of the master's sheep? The master lost money, didn't he? He lost wealth. And so this analogy that Paul is using is one that if you aspire to be a pastor, if you aspire to be an elder or an overseer, it's one you've got to take extremely, extremely seriously. And so in doing the job well, the service then is noble. It's a work that the aspiration, it's worth the humble sacrifice. It's living a life that you serve with the intent of honoring our master. And remember, we're not talking about just a landowner anymore. We're talking about we serve the King of the universe. We serve the one who created all things, and we are here taking care of his sheep and his loved ones. And so our speech needs to be one where it's seasoned rightly. Our craftsmanship should be reflective. We should take care of how we deal with people's souls, because we need to be doing everything we can do for the betterment of the sheep, not because we want to pat ourselves on the back, but because we have been given this charge from the Father, from the Creator. And so if anyone is aspiring to be an elder or pastor or overseer, it's a great work. This text safeguards the office of elder by coupling the aspiration of one who wants to serve there with the understanding that it's going to be tough. But then also the understanding that there are qualifications that are set for this person. And we're going to dive into those qualifications. But the aspiration is one that is noble. And I don't want to make it appear like if you want to be a pastor, oh, it's the most horrible thing in the world. It's the greatest thing that you can do for Christ's flock. It's a noble work. And so it's something that reminds us that a candidate that is called to lead is inseparable from the one who give him that right to lead. It's a call to holiness. It's a call to Christ-like character. And we see not only that as we look at this, there's this whole list of qualifications that we're going to go through. But before I get into the qualifications, understand these are qualifications to serve as an elder. But remember when I said that Paul wrote to Timothy and he was at Ephesus? If you're so inclined, I'd like to challenge you to do something for me. Read through the book of Ephesians, which is written to the church in general. You will find every single one of these qualifications except for one, for Christians in general, given in the book of Ephesians. So these qualifications are not just for elders, but these are qualifications that if we want to reflect the holiness of our God, every single Christian should try to aspire to have these qualifications, because that shows that we're following our master correctly. And also then it shows that the leader is leading you correctly. The shepherd is shepherding you correctly because you're reflecting the image of Christ and the holiness of Christ. The book of Ephesians talks about not being a drunkard. The book of Ephesians talks about not being a gossip. The book of Ephesians talks about not being gentle. And that's to every single church member, man, woman, child. It doesn't matter. But here Paul points them out specifically to the elder, overseer, pastor. So let's look at the qualifications just one by one. The first one, an overseer therefore must be above reproach. Now, does that mean that I am sinless as your pastor? Ask my son and my wife. They'll tell you I'm not. Right? Does that mean that I am squeaky clean like a squeaky wheel? Just the goody two-shoes? On Friday night, I was yelling at the referee. Above reproach, however, means that if you aspire to be a pastor, if you aspire to be an elder, and if you aspire to be a better Christian, you are to live a life above reproach. What's that mean? That's a life with integrity. That's a life marked by humbleness. That's a life marked by the fact that you don't go out and specifically intend to harm someone. That's, yes, a shepherd might have to have harmed a sheep to break their leg if they had tried to run away, but it's in doing so that he brings the sheep back into the fold. That's the life of integrity. If a shepherd didn't do that and the sheep run away, what happens? Well, again, the master is dishonored. And that's not a life of integrity that the shepherd must exhibit. And we as Christians need to live a life of integrity, yes, but also the pastor needs to live a life of one that is integrity with integrity. That means when someone tells you that, oh, I know your pastor or I know the elders at Fireside, they're good dudes. That's what it means to live a life of integrity, to live a life upright. Not sinless, because no one can hit all of these sinlessly. We're fallen creatures, but we have to have this qualification. The second one that we'll look at is the husband of one wife. The husband of one wife. That means a person who is in the office of pastor, overseer, elder, all the same word. They need to be, number one, a male husband of one wife. That means they're faithful to the covenant of marriage that they have. Literally, it means one woman man. So it's someone who is faithful to their marriage. You don't want a womanizer in the office of elder. You don't want someone addicted to pornography in the office of elder. You don't want someone who has been known for stepping out on his marital vows to be in the office of elder because it brings disgrace to Christ. And so this qualification, again, is being called out for an elder, but guess what? There are other passages in Scripture where husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, love your husbands, right? So we see here that, yes, an elder has specific qualifications and needs to meet these things, but this is pointing everyone to the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the holy shepherd, and it's qualifications that we should all strive for. Next, look in verse 3. Self-controlled, demonstrating basically the fruit of the Spirit that can be found in Galatians 5:23. It's someone who responds rather than reacts. It's one who understands that they don't need to let their emotions get the better of them, that they respond to a situation rather than react to a situation. What do I mean by that? Now, Caden can tell you, I talk about this all the time, and I'm always not the best at this. But when you react to something, generally you react wrong. It's impulsive. But if you respond to something, there's a thought process that's gone through that, oh, in the case of an elder, right? How can I best love this person? How can I best show this person Christ? How can I best show this person Jesus? Right? So when the drug addict comes and chews you out or the husband who's been stepping out on his wife and you confront him and they cuss you out, Do you react in your flesh or do you respond in the spirit? The godly person, the godly man who wants to be a pastor needs to have a mark where he responds with self-control and in the spirit. And then number four, look, sensible and respectable. So these two words are synonymous. They play off each other. Sensible and respectable. It's orderly and of sound mind. Right? Orderly and of sound mind. So you want someone who is reasonable and respectable and is able to think of things in an orderly fashion, because God is not the God of disorder. God is the God of order. He created things orderly. Sin caused the disorder that we're having to deal with. So if we want to look like the God we serve, we need to have a sense of order and of the way things are outlined to be in Scripture. Creation order, if you will, right? So we need to think along those lines. Number five, hospitable. Loving strangers and making respectable or relational warmth. Loving strangers and making relational warmth. An elder should be marked by the fact that they are hospitable. So they may have people in their homes. They may go to a person's home and take them something. They're showing them hospitality. They are caring for them as individuals. They see a Samaritan, or they see a Jew on the side of the road, and they play the role of the Good Samaritan, being hospitable to that person. And this takes different forms and in different ways. And it's, again, different cultures may do it differently. I'm sure a hospitable pastor in England, like we prayed for Jonathan this morning, has a different cultural expectation than here in the southern United States. And I can guarantee that the southern United States probably has a different hospitable expectation than the western United States, right? So whatever hospitality looks like in the culture you're in, you need to give of yourself to your flock, to the people. And again, this same qualification is for others in other parts of Scripture. Number six, not an excessive drinker. And again, this is tied to being under control or self-controlled, right? Not an excessive drinker. Alcoholism is something that no pastor should have as a demon in their life. Now, and there are some who do, and again, no one's going to meet all of these qualifications seamlessly. But again, if you're demonstrating a lack of self-control, that's a heart problem that you need to deal with, right? So that's the excessive drinker. Now, some people will tell you teetotaling is the only way to go. Okay. Some people will tell you social drinking is the other way to go. Okay. The qualification is not an excessive drinker, not a drunk. So I would just venture to always err on the side of caution and self-control in that aspect, especially if you aspire to being a pastor. Teetotaler, abstinence, easy way to go that route, right? But not required. But something that you need to think about. Number seven, gentle. If you look in verse 3, not a bully, but gentle. So a elder, pastor, overseer should not be egotistical, not domineering, not pushy, not explosive, right? It's, again, going back to the responding versus reacting. There's an ancient proverb that says, when elephants fight, all the grass gets trampled. Right? Not a biblical proverb, an ancient proverb. But it holds true. If elephants fight, what happens? All the grass gets trampled. And so elders must be one who takes care of the grass, if you will, and doesn't fight with no purpose, trying to be gentle in their dealings with people, not egotistical. That should be one who is humble, not filled with pride, not filled with, oh, look at what we've done. Look at what we've got. Look at this. Look at that. And because we are better than you, we're going to push our way through. That's not the mark of humility that Paul is talking about here. Because it is really, really easy for me to say, "Thus saith the Lord," and I can beat someone over the head with the Bible. Do you think that person's going to actually get it? Versus if I put my arm around that same person and say, "Brother, sister, I know exactly what you're going through because Scripture talks about it. Let me show it to you and let me walk through this with you." Two different things. Two different things. Number eight, not greedy. So you're not manipulative for money. You're not trying to swindle people out of your money. And again, in the shadow of what Christ told us in Mark when he talked about the temple and how the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees were extorting the people for money, this is exactly opposite of that. Not greedy for money. So it's not manipulating people just to get their money. And I'll give you a funny aside to this to prove this point home. I used to take allergy shots when I was in the elementary school, and I had to take them twice a week. And I took them in Dr. Wilson's office. Now, if you don't know who Dr. Wilson is, if you know where Fraker's Funeral Home is, that's where Dr. Wilson's office used to be. And so I'd go there twice a week, and my mom would usually drive me. I was in elementary school, and I'd have to sit in the waiting area for like 20 minutes after I got my shots, and they had the TV on there. And there was this televangelist on at the time, and we were sitting there, and it was just me and my mom in the waiting area as I was waiting so they could see if I had a reaction to the shot. And the televangelist was giving away prayer cloths, of cloths that he had cried on. And for a donation of $1,000, he would send you one of these cloths. And he goes, and I'll never forget this, he'll go, "You know why $1,000? Because it's a nice round number." And my mom cackled at that. And I'll never forget that. Because this guy was not demonstrating not being greedy. He was actually the opposite. He was being greedy. Not even getting into the theology of everything else. I'm just talking about the money aspect of it. He was being greedy. And that's not the mark that an overseer shepherd should have. Number nine, he should be an effective father. Dignified fathering, trying to raise children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And again, effective father, not perfect father. Because there is a small mini congregation in each one of our homes. Right? What was established first? The home? Or the church, the home. And there's a little mini congregation in each one of the homes. So this is a litmus test. This is something where the effectiveness of the leading and the way you lead people toward the Lord in fear and admonition of Him. Again, not perfectly, because no one is going to be perfect in this aspect, but one that tries to be God-honoring in all that they do. And then number 10, they need to be an established believer. They need to serve with wisdom and experience. Why? Because if you're inexperienced, generally you take a lot of chances that you don't need to take and you make rookie mistakes. Right? That's the easiest way to put that. Novice mistakes happen because you don't have the experience. So Paul is telling Timothy, hey, look, there needs to be some level of wisdom in this person, some level of experience in this man who wants to be an overseer, because if he's a new believer, there's going to be dangers and he's going to make missteps all over the place. But if he's a new believer, those chances skyrocket exponentially. So yes, if that guy wants to serve and he still has that aspiration, that's great. Work with him, walk with him. Help him see your walk as he matures, as he gets experience. Then can he be called. Now, this list of moral qualifications that we just went through is a list that all believers should strive for. But there's one that I skipped over. Did you notice it? Number 11, which is in verse 3 or 2 at the very end. Able to teach. This is the only qualification that an elder has relating to the giftedness of the person. There is no distinction given in able to teach, whether it's in a large public gathering like this or in one-on-one small informal teaching. But whoever aspires to this office needs to be one who is able to explain the mystery of the faith, the mysteries of the faith. They need to be able to articulate the gospel clearly and unflinchingly. They need to be able to say, "Thus saith the Lord," because it's what the Lord has said. Whether it's in the pulpit, in a Sunday school room, in a classroom, on the street, wherever the case may be, this person has a knack, whatever it is, to be able to explain and communicate God's truth effectively. Not necessarily with flashy words, because I'm not one who goes into a lot of elaborate stories. That's someone else's giftedness. But they need to be able to say, "You're a sinner, you can't save yourself, you can't get to heaven. Jesus came, lived the life you should have lived, you couldn't, I can't. Died on the cross in our place, took the penalty of God's wrath on that cross for you, was murdered, died, buried, rose again on the third day, ascended into heaven, and is here waiting for us to come back and claim his bride." And an elder must be able to communicate God's word and God's truth effectively. It's the only qualification, actually, that is a distinction between an elder and a deacon. Now, a deacon is called to hold to the mysteries of the faith, and we're going to look at that next week, which means they still need to know the gospel, but maybe it's someone who can't articulate it in a way an elder can. And it's the only qualification that goes to the giftedness of the speaker. Now, we talked about the inner calling, we talked about the qualifications. Let's look at the confirmation of those who want to serve. God, through Paul, gives Timothy and us these qualifications. Why? Number one, God's people should strive for holiness. Not only are these qualifications just for those who are going to be called into pastoral ministry, but they're qualifications that every Christian should strive for. Number two, each person should examine themselves, and this personal examination is necessary as a continued growth in faith. Now, number three, and here's where I think a lot of churches take a misstep just a little bit. These qualifications, yes, are for personal investigation and examination, but Paul gives Timothy these qualifications because they're now public. And the church is called to examine those who would be their leaders the same way. Corporate examination, the church's responsibility is to confirm the inner calling that some guy feels. Because if some guy walks in off the streets and says, "Hey, I feel called of God to preach the word," and you haven't examined his life, it's your malpractice if you put this guy in the pulpit. So Paul is telling the churches, hey, you have a congregational responsibility to make sure the people that are leading you live this way, serve this way, is humble before God. And God demands his sheep's protection from this person because his sheep is his business. And their thriving in this world is serious kingdom business. And the person who is called to be an overseer, a person who is called to be an elder, is under the authority of Christ. And you don't want someone just off the street. The person who is called to be an overseer cares for the bride of Christ. And I guarantee you, a husband knows this feeling. If someone messes with your bride, that's a bad thing. So we're having to care for the bride of Christ. We are having to teach the word of Christ. We're having to model the character of Christ. And wholeheartedly, we are to accomplish the mission of Christ. And so we see, as Paul is telling Timothy, the way the church should be formed is under good teaching of the Word of God. That's doctrine. That's the first thing that he tells Timothy. You need to make sure the teaching is right. And you need to deal with any false teaching. Get that out of the church. Then number two, the ministry that everyone can do is prayer. Men, step up and lead in that. Women, don't usurp that authority. And then there's a special group of men then that are called to lead. And they need to model what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And again, none of us will exemplify this perfectly. I'm not going to do it. Kirill's not going to do it. Bill's not going to do it. Brian's not going to do it. However, the one thing I will say is the same thing Paul says. Follow me as long as I'm following Christ. Because I want to take you to him. I want to take you to the one who can save your soul. I want to demonstrate to you that you are lost and need a Savior. I want to demonstrate that you have a path to get to heaven. But there's only one way, and it's not Ralton Emery, it's Jesus Christ. So come with me on this journey, and let me take you to him. That's the job of an elder, overseer, pastor. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we think back over our lives at the various pastors that we may have had and the pastors we have now, we just pray that even though they're sinful men, that they point us to the sinless. They point us to the one who knew no sin but became sin for us, that we might put on his righteousness. And dear Lord, we just ask that you would help us as a church body to be strengthened and pulled towards serving you better because of the leadership you have in place. We pray for humility. We pray for a walk step by step, day by day, prayer by prayer, that we point others to you in everything that we do. And dear Lord, there may be here someone here who may be thinking about this office, and they may have that internal pulling toward this office for the church, that want to serve the church in this way. If there's anyone here like that, I would love to have a conversation with them. And we could set up a time to discuss that and walk step by step together. There may be others here who think this is ridiculous because they don't understand godly authority. They don't understand the fact that they need to be cared for. They're just outliving their life. But dear Lord, those people also need to understand they're living a sinful life. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And it's only through Christ that conquered over their sin and died in their place can they walk with you here on earth and then forever in heaven. And if they're struggling with that, dear Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit move in their lives. The altar will be open for prayer of any kind. I'll be up front if anyone would like to have a conversation. We love you and we praise you and we thank you for everything accomplished here this morning. For it's in Christ's name. Amen.